welcome to Podcast Insider. I'm the host today, Mike Dell, and I have a co-host today who's not on here as much as she ought to be. Hi, Mackenzie.
Hey, Mike. I know the pandemic really kind of put a wrench in me guesting as often as I should.
Yeah, you know, that and chasing crazy bugs in the studio, but that happens to the best of us.
Yes, it does.
So today, Mackenzie is on the state-of-the-art earbuds, but hey, sound good.
They're good enough, right?
Yeah. So we got some news, got a best practice, some blueberry stuff. No interview today, but have some announcements about that. And a question of the week. Looks like iHeart's buying more stuff.
Is this a new announcement or is this saying, okay, this is actually finally going to happen?
No, this is a new one. iHeartMedia is purchasing Triton Digital. That's been passed around a lot. That may be why it sounds like an old story.
Yes.
But no, Triton Digital is being acquired by iHeartMedia. Scripps Company had Triton a while back, and they're getting $230 million for this thing. Oh, boy. So, it's still a lot of money floating around in the podcast world. But yeah, Triton's been passed around a couple of times, I guess. Scripps bought them maybe a year ago, something like that. They made some pretty good money on it. I was reading somewhere in here, they paid like $50 million for it whenever they bought it and sold it for $230 million. So not a bad return on investment, I guess.
No, it is not. It's like when you flip a house, but different.
Yeah, but you know, iHeart's got a lot of stuff. They bought Fox Nest and Spreaker. They've bought a bunch of stuff, and now they've got a Triton, which is mainly a ad injection service. Yeah, good on them and good on Scripps for getting a good price tag for it.
Yeah, they're no stranger to buying things up in the past couple of years for podcasting. I just wonder how exactly, I assume it's just going to be for the original shows that they have just to make it easier on themselves.
Yeah. Well, congratulations to the team over at Scripps for sure. And also in Podcast Business Journal, Apple's releasing a space podcast, which coincides with their TV show called, For All Mankind. That's on the Apple TV Plus, and this is going to be the companion podcast for it. So that's one of the first Apple, not exclusive, but Apple in-house podcasts.
Maybe I'll actually give this a try because I really, really love space and actually have Apple TV. So I figure I have it. Might as well give it a shot.
Yeah, I haven't signed up for TV Plus yet. I got a free year of it or whatever when I bought my iPhone or something, but I forget what
they
I bought.
They keep extending mine. That's exactly how I got mine.
Yeah, I did see a couple shows on it that looked interesting, so yeah, I have to turn that on and investigate that. I didn't know about this show called For All Mankind, but anyway, they'll have a podcast coming out for that. The trailer's up now. So this is what I thought was kind of funny. It's podcasts are like pets. You know, it's kind of true. You know, a lot of the podcasters out there, you know, they are pretty dedicated to their shows. So, you know, I'll go through the little five reasons. You can read the article. But podcasts and pets will always surprise you. That's certainly true with my beagles.
I mean, I got a surprise this morning with our podcast, so yes.
Yeah, one of my beagles has now got smart enough to be able to open the back door to the house, so it's not good.
I just have a beagle.
Anyway, and let's see, the number two reason is they always need more care than you expect, and yes, that is true. You know, keeping a podcast going is a bit more work than you would think, and same thing with having critters. You know, they always need something.
Especially a puppy.
Yes. And let's see, podcasts and pets have lives of their own. I know the dogs do, but I don't know. My show doesn't happen unless I do it. So I don't know if I agree with that one.
For some people, it might be that their audience kind of comes together to be a community of, you know, we follow this show and that takes on a life of its own.
Yeah, I guess in that way it makes sense for sure. And let's see, there's a bond between you that no one truly understands. Well, I think other pet people understand the pet thing. And same with the podcast. You get pretty dedicated to these things the more you do them. And I have a show that I've been doing for 15 years or so. And, you know, I don't do it an awful lot, but there's just a crazy bond there that makes me want to do it now and again. And most of the time, it's I've got one particular listener that if I don't do one after a while, he says, hey, where'd you go?
So, always appreciate that.
Yeah, it makes sense. And then the final one, podcasts and pets help us connect to the larger world. And that's true. You know, you take a dog out for a walk, you're going to meet people in most cases.
Very, very true.
And, you know, same thing with podcasting. You know, look at my own podcast endeavors. I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing right now if it wasn't for the fact that I started a podcast. So,
yeah, I mean, your hobby of podcasting is how you got here.
Yeah, for sure. And I consider myself an advanced hobbyist. I'm not a pro. Although we do get paid
for this one.
No one
said
you
had to be a pro.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. All right, here's one that you and I might disagree about a little bit, but that's always fun. It's a story from The Verge. It says, can anyone moderate podcasts? And tagline is Apple, Spotify, and the impossible problem of moderating shows. And as you know, I'm all for free speech. Now, they use the example of Steve Bannon called for the beheading of Dr. Fauci. And, you know, that's completely wrong. And, yeah, he should get whacked for that for sure. But, you know, in lesser cases like that, you know, just because you got the right to be wrong. That's, I guess, my take on that. Now, you know, of course, you know, calling for violence against somebody, that is definitely illegal and should be whacked for sure. But as far as if someone thinks that something they're talking about may be true, then they should be able to express that, even though it may not be true. I don't know. What do you think?
I really like what you said. People have the right to be wrong and to be able to say it. I like that. My thing is that Steve Bannon is doing this as, you know, because that's the example they use. He's doing this as a politician, as someone who has actual power. And my wish is that at some point, podcasts would be fact-checked in a similar way that newspapers have to be before they release and before, you know, they publish anything, as well as they have
right
a certain number of sources that they require before they release breaking news, that type of stuff. It's when you're promoting or saying things that can be proven wrong and you're saying them as an authority, not as like an authority that gained that through online sources, but as like a public figure for the government. That's when I'm like,
right, right. Well, he's not in the government now,
moderate
but
the crap out of it.
Yeah. Well, you know, he's not part of the government now anyway, but I agree to a certain point. The one thing is, though, it's on the publisher or the host or whatever. So, like, if I make a podcast and I say something that's completely wacko, okay, I'm wrong. The facts are wrong. If, you know, all that is true. It's not on Apple or Spotify or Blueberry or Libsyn or anybody to moderate that. It's about the way back in the day. You know, think of Thomas Jefferson times. Somebody puts out a newspaper, a newsletter or whatever, and they print that up and it's complete bogus. Well, they have the right to do that. And it's on them if it causes damage. You know what I mean? If, put it this way, you have the right to be wrong, but you also have to take the consequences of it yourself. It's not on Blueberry or Apple or Spotify to make that determination. It's, I don't know. It's a hard one. I don't even know if it'd be possible to moderate podcasts like they're talking about here. I don't think it's feasible. You know, nobody's going to listen to, you know, millions and millions of hours of audio to fact check everything.
It's not feasible. It's also incredibly difficult because a lot of this could just be terms of service stuff that, yeah, they should be getting knocked out for that reason because they're not following the community's terms, but it's just an insane amount.
Well, also think about this. Can you imagine if we here at Blueberry had to listen to everything and approve it before it went out? That's impossible.
We'd be an entirely different type of company.
Yeah, and that's just, I don't know. I think it's rather impossible. And buyer beware, you know, when you're listening to something, most people have a pretty good idea what's complete bogus and what's not. And those that don't won't listen to reason anyway.
Yeah.
So it's not really the job of the platforms to do this. This would be the job of the publisher.
That's definitely what I think about all the time, that there's a lot of podcasts out there that might be a topic of interest for me, but then I look at who produced it and, you know, I might Google them and I'm like, okay, well, I literally cannot find anything on this person, so I'm just not going to listen to them. It's not, I don't know that they are wrong, but I don't know that they're right, so I'm not going to spend my time on it.
Right, right. But, you know, it's up to the listener to decide, I believe. And, you know, yeah, like if, like in the case of, you know, calling for somebody to get beheaded, that's kind of silly and illegal. You know, that kind of thing's illegal, and that's against everybody's terms of service. But, you know, we got to be careful as a platform, or as any of the platforms have to be careful, that if they start moderating content, then they're no longer a platform, they're a publisher, and then they got to do it to everything. And it's impossible. It's absolutely impossible. So, you know, just like everything you see on Facebook isn't true, everything you hear in a podcast may not be true.
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm. You know, it's
same
all
with YouTube.
Everywhere. User-generated content. And, you know, users can range from wacko in both directions, and, you know,
that's, you got the right thing to just be wrong. Use your critical thinking skills, because right now we cannot moderate. Like, there's just, it's not going to happen.
Yeah. And, you know, do we really want to? I don't think anybody really wants to be spending all that time doing that or paying somebody to do that. That, anyway. All right. Hey, that wasn't as crazy as I thought it would be. Anyway, on to a little bit lighter stuff. Google Podcasts is pretty good now, y'all. That's an article from Michael Kreider over at Review Geek. Google's attempted podcasting, I think this is the third or fourth attempt, and I think they did get it right. And that's what he says here. It's a pretty good app now.
I have criticized them pretty harshly in the past, so it's nice to hear that in 2021 someone is giving this review.
Yeah, you know, like I said, I played with it. I have an Android device, you know, and I have it on my Apple phone as well. And yeah, it's decent. I don't use it as my primary listening app, but somebody could. And it's, like he said, it's pretty good. I think it's a worthwhile review. And, you know, if you're looking to change to some other method of listening, check out Google Podcasts.
Got a lot of good screenshots in here too, so that's always helpful.
Oh yeah, it's a good article. I'm gonna have to start reading Review Geek. We'll have a link in the show notes. So, do you want to speak at Podcast Movement 2021 in Nashville?
Our team is starting to think of ideas, but we are encouraging everyone else to apply as well.
Yep, we'll have a link to the submission there if you want to speak, if you're going to be in Nashville. That's in August.
It's the 3rd through 6th, I believe.
Yeah, 3rd through 6th, 2021 in Nashville, Tennessee. And the deadline to submit is March 31st.
So Podcast Movement is still going to be in person. Did they mention anything in the speaker submission that you could do a virtual one if you liked, or anything like that?
I didn't see it in there, and I assume unless they have to go virtual again that they'll probably just leave it as in person for the time being. But I haven't had any information to otherwise. I think they're just going with it's going to be in person, and hopefully by then it will be.
So.
All right. And then here's one I just saw this morning. A podcaster group is trying to get Apple to add a climate category to Apple Podcasts and their categories. And regardless of what you feel about the issue, it's not a bad idea. But how much that'll gain anybody, that's another thing. I don't think that Apple Podcasts itself is the be all and end all of how people find your podcast. I think it's more, you know, search related and Google and Bing and whatnot, but it doesn't hurt. They've been trying to get an LGBT category in there for a while too. So
still don't have that.
They still don't have that. We do at Blueberry, but they don't at Apple. And I think Podcast Index now has, yeah, I think Podcast Index has both the climate and the LGBT Q. Whatever. I don't know all the letters you're supposed to use, but anyway.
I am wondering what they were, what it's called, because LGBTQIA.
Yeah, too many letters. But anyway, we have that category or something similar to that at Blueberry. So I don't think we have a climate one, though.
Yeah, when I was reading this page, or when I saw the headline in the show notes, I was like, okay, well, that seems kind of unnecessary. But then I read the first sentence on the website they created, it says, "Podcasters, we've got a real true crime on our hands. Apple has no climate category." But then they were like, "Why can't we get this if Apple added a true crime one?" And I was like, "Oh, okay, actually, I kind of get it now."
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's what it is. You know, they don't change their categories very often. And when they do, it causes a lot of work for all the podcasting apps, all the podcast hosts.
I remember.
You know, we went through in 2019 and had to add and rearrange categories. And it's not a small deal to do. So, but next time they revamp them, why not? Throw it in there. Probably 10 or 12 categories they could add. And, you know, nothing wrong with that, but they can't do it every month because, you know, we'd have to hire somebody.
Do we know when this started, when they started working on this?
I don't. Maybe it's in the letter itself.
It just seems rather timely right now with all of the weather going on in the United States.
Yeah, it started sometime this year, so it's been pretty recent since we're only a couple months in. So if you feel like you want them to add that category, go over, hit that link in the show notes and sign the letter. Why not? Well, let's get on to our tip of the day or whatever. Best practice, I guess we call it. Geez, see, but Todd's not here. I get all scrambled. But anyway, so the question we're bringing up in best practice, is there a best time of the day to release your episodes? What do you think, Mackenzie?
Supposedly. The consistency is it for me.
Yeah, I have here in the notes, you know, my short answer was no, not really.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you think about it, podcast is a non-real time thing. It's not like you have to be here at 11:30 and, you know, on a Thursday to listen to this show. Now, if you want to watch us live, when we're live, we're not live today. But when we're live on video, then yeah, you have to be there at that time. But for the podcast, it's not a appointment thing. It just comes in when it comes in. And as long as you're, you know, you pick a time a day that works for your production, you know, like in our case, we do it, you know, release these Thursday afternoon or evening, and that works for us. And then Friday morning, everybody has it. And people that are listening to this show are probably used to that schedule, and we shouldn't change that around a whole lot. And that's the main thing. Stay consistent. And one of the advantages of this, and a lot of people don't know this, a lot of these podcast apps and directories, Apple being the big one, will learn when you put out an episode. So they'll know to check, okay, they normally put one out, say 5 o'clock on Thursday, in our case, and they'll pull that into Apple sometime in the next couple hours because they know we're pretty reliable on that schedule, and they learn that over time. So that may help you, you know, get into the directory at all the different places a bit quicker. And it doesn't always work, you know, because Apple has glitches and sometimes they hit you early or they don't hit you till the next day or whatever, but that can help. And, you know, just know people build you into their schedule. You know, I listen to a podcast, believe it or not, this guy puts out 2 a day, 7 days a week.
Oy, oy, oy.
But I know at 7 in the morning, I'm going to get an episode, and about noon, I'm going to get an episode. And I know that every day. And when it's not there, I'm like, whoa, what happened? You know? So I built that guy into my day. He has little 5-minute things. They're pretty cool. Leto's Law, if you're interested. But anyway, that's my thoughts on it. I don't really think there is a best time. There's just whatever works for you and stay consistent.
Yeah, the only other thing that I'd say is if you know people are going to want to listen to it at a certain time of day, driving to work or something like that, that's the only thing I'd say. But if you don't really have to worry about it that much.
Yeah, if you're doing a daily and you want people to listen to it on their commute, then yeah, get it out at 5 in the morning or something. You know, that makes sense, but that's not necessarily best for anything other than for your audience. But you're not going to get a bump because you do it on Tuesday morning instead of Wednesday morning.
Yeah. We've looked at this, we've changed days that we release and everything, and it just...
Mm-mm. It really doesn't make a lot of difference other than now we've established when we do it, and we should stick with that.
Mm-hmm.
So, if we can. Sometimes we're a little late or a little early, you know, but that's all right.
But definitely afternoons, Thursday.
Yep. And we still don't have an interview this week, and normally we don't mention that, but I'm going to mention that now, even though it's a little out of order on our notes. But we will be doing some get-to-know-the-Blueberry team interviews on top of some other ones we have scheduled. And I think you've got one recorded, too, but we're holding that one for, I think, beginning of March, something like that.
Yes, that is, I have one recorded with the Podcaster of the Month for March.
Ah, very good.
So that's why we're holding on to it.
Yeah. So, yeah, sorry I got that out of order.
It's okay. We should hopefully have one for our Podcaster of the Month for February next week when he is available.
All right. Very good. Sounds like a plan. So, Blueberry News. Our blog writer put out 10 tips for connecting with your audience on social media. I thought it was a pretty good article. I didn't dig too deep into it. You're a little more familiar with it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm the one that actually gets this out, just like the podcast. But the 10 tips kind of fall into one another a little bit. You know, if you do this, this is easy to do as well. So it's a lot of quick and easy ones that compound on one another. So it's things such as dedicate time, be genuine, be positive. Those are very easy to do together. Comment and retweet with your listeners, initiate conversations, make introductions to other listeners to expand on that community feel. And remember the details of your interactions. Don't just treat it as, you know, this was, yeah, cool, so-and-so responded. It's pay attention, you know, remember that. It's people like to feel remembered, even on social media.
Yeah. Be genuine. I like that one the best because so many people, they put on, I don't know how you put it, put on airs, we used to call it, but that's probably a little weird. But if you're more genuine, you know, they feel like there's an actual person there. It's not just a robot typing things, you know, that you put into a program and, you know, make it sound like it's actually you talking.
Yeah. And when you are more genuine, then all of those things just kind of fall into place as well. Social media can be a very, very negative place. And it's very easy to get sucked into it. You kind of have to slightly remind yourself every once in a while, this is a choice that I'm making and I can choose how to act on here. And
yeah, for sure. So anyway, hey, we've been busy here. We keep talking about this dashboard, but it's going to be great when it's here. We got phase one out, and that's that new black sidebar on blueberry.com when you log in. And we're getting close to phase two, where the rest of the menus will change and will be, I don't know, the screenshots I've seen of it and all that, it looks like it's going to be great. Things are going to be easier to find for newbies, and I don't think it'll be too difficult for us old guys to figure out where everything is.
Yeah, no, I have personally been working on a lot of the copy that's going in, you know, like what things actually say in the dashboard, trying to make it easier for newbies to get started and, you know, not have to click on every single thing, but also not a complete and utter change from what people had before so that they get in there and they're like, I can't find anything.
Right. We're not taking anything away. We're just rearranging it and making it look better. And adding a few things, too. All right. You particularly sent out the newsletter today, so look for that in your inbox. Yeah, you probably already read it, but, well, you know. So we had a few news items in there for sure. So, like I said, look for that. And I know you mentioned that the PowerPress webinar is happening today, but since we're not live, probably already happened by the time you hear this, but look for it on social for the next one and sign up.
Yeah, I always just try to remind people that, you know, if you missed it, let us know. We can probably work something out for you.
Oh, yeah. We record it and send out the recording. So, yeah. But it's, you know, how to set up PowerPress from scratch. You get a WordPress site, and then you set up PowerPress, and you're podcasting. It takes about 45 minutes for me to go through it, plus some Q&A. And it's well worth attending. It will save you some time. And we got a new webinar software that we're going to try on the next one. So that might be fun to just come watch and see what I screw up.
I know. I'm kind of thinking I'm really going to enjoy the test runs with you.
Yes. Yeah, we've been using GoToWebinar for a long time, so today will be the last one. And we're moving to a new platform that is supposedly easier to deal with, but we'll see. That brings us to the question of the week. This one came in on Facebook last night, and I thought it was pretty good. And Todd answered it for me, so I'm going to put his answer in here, and then I'll put my answer in here. So, anyway, Chris from Facebook said, I normally keep 300 episodes in my RSS feed. All my episodes are on my website in the episode post. I'm thinking about dumping it down to just serving the last 100 or so. What are your thoughts? And Todd answered it. 90% of podcasts globally get 90% of their lifetime downloads within the first 96 hours. He says he only has 40 in his feed. And that's on Geek News Central. And he's already up to episode 1509. So been at it a while. But anyways, if you have written good show notes with a good episode title and a good first paragraph, Google will drive traffic to those older episodes. Plus, they're all available on your website if you're doing it with PowerPress. That's what we assume. If you're keeping it at 300, be sure to use the episode maximizer feature in PowerPress. And what that's about, it just makes your feed a little smaller and faster if you're going to run it up to 300. But there's no requirement to have it at that. That's kind of the limit that Apple in particular will show in their directory, even if you have more. And in PowerPress, you can set it up to more, but just be aware your feed will get too big and then they'll have trouble pulling it at all. And that's not a good plan. But, you know, I agree with Todd. Keeping it at 300 is most likely not necessary, but you can. You know, most people won't go back that far. If you're doing news or topical stuff that doesn't have any sort of long tail, kind of like this show, there's no reason to run it to 300 because people aren't going to go back very far. If you're doing more how-to or informational shows, you know, stuff that doesn't really go out of date, then, you know, you may need to go to the full 300. You know, this show only has 52 in the feed. That's only a year's worth, but you know, I'm pretty sure if I went and looked at the stats, not very many people go back more than a month. I don't know. That's my thought on it. You get into Apple Podcasts and you subscribe to something, you want to listen to the new stuff most of the time. What do you think, Mackenzie?
I think it's just dependent on, the topic of your show. If you are doing news, you probably don't do 300. You're putting unnecessary strain on your show and really a small amount of people that would go all the way back that far when you could really, just find it on the website most likely. So I'd say for news, you don't have to keep them that long for sure.
That's what I think too. You know, I've subscribed to shows where I've gone back and downloaded their whole catalog. But if it was 300, I probably wouldn't do that. I don't care how interesting they are. But, you know, I might pick and choose, whatever. But, you know, in most cases, all those shows, even if they're not in the feed, are available on the website. So, you know, if you really want to go back, you can go all the way back 179 episodes past what's on our feed here and see what we were doing in 2010? Something like that. Because we had this podcast even before you did PowerPress Podcast.
Yeah, and I only got here in 2015, so.
Right, so, you know, it's been around a while. All right, well, that brings us kind of to the end here. Of course, this week on Podcast Help Desk, I'm going to be taking on the topic of taking a break from podcasting. I know I said that last week, but I took a break. So.
Well done, Mike. Well done.
By accident. I forgot I was going out of town and didn't do a show Saturday, so we'll do it this Saturday. Yeah, so, you know, that's probably not the right way to do it because I didn't tell anybody. and I promoted on this show. Jeez, that's double bad. Anyway, if you want a free month of anything Blueberry does, use the promo code INSIDER at checkout, and that'll give you a free 30 days to check us out and all of that good stuff. Anything to add, Mackenzie?
Yeah, real quick, we are trying to figure out what type of swag to bring to events or to send out to people, you know, whatever type of fun merch stuff that you guys would like to get.
I want a baseball hat.
Yeah, I'm kind of a big fan of that one too. I wear a lot of hats. I can get on board with that. which means you guys need to back Mike and I up.
Yes. Please tell us what you would want as, you know, giveaway at the booths, you know, at these events. We've been thinking, you know, stuff like coffee cups. We've done t-shirts in the past. We're famous for our show notes pad, that kind of thing. But we're looking for some new ideas. So let us know.
That's it. Yeah, just let us know. Use the voicemail thing or email us something.
Oh, yeah, that voicemail thing may not be working right now. I'll get something going, though. When we switched our webinar system, we also switched our phone system, which that other thing was tied to. So, yeah, so just send us an email, mike@blueberry.com, mackenzie@blueberry.com, or todd@blueberry.com, and let us know what you'd like to have us give you at a booth at an event.
Yes, and all of our emails are also in the show notes, especially my name.
Yep. So, all right, well, thanks. I can't call you a guest host, occasional host. Thanks for hosting with me, and the audio quality will improve. We were chasing a bug in the studio, for 20 minutes, and then we decided, to heck with it, we'll just use your earbuds.
Yeah, I made it worse, so. Sorry about that.
It happens. No problem. Anyway, everybody have a good week. Next week, I'll have another special guest host. Dave from our support team is going to be with me. All right, talk to you later.
Thanks, everyone.